Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. When you go to God in prayer, either publicly or privately, do you remember to thank God for the great freedom we enjoy in the United States of America? Do you thank Him for your family, both your family of orientation and your family of procreation? Do you thank Him for the opportunities for doing good which are afforded to each of us? Paul thanked God for the Colossians' faith in Christ Jesus and their love to all the saints. Colossians 1:4. Do we remember to thank God for our fellow Christians? Do we pray that they, along with us, will grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? 2 Peter 3:18. We certainly do not want to be ungrateful to Him, from whom all blessings flow. Christians in every generation should have the attitude of King David. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Psalm 30:12. Our thanksgiving to God should not be of the generic kind. We should be thankful for specific blessings. Paul thanked God for the Colossians' faith in Christ Jesus, for the love they had for all the saints, and for the hope which is laid up for them in heaven, whereof they heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Colossians 1:4-5. How grateful all Christians should be for the hope laid up for us in heaven. We have the assurance from God's Word that when we have laid aside our fleshly bodies, we shall have spiritual bodies adapted to our eternal home. Paul told the Corinthians, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory." 1 Corinthians 15:53-54. I know you have thought about how dreadful this life would be with all its suffering, disappointment, and death, if there is nothing beyond the grave. If all our dreams, hopes, and aspirations end with our last breath, we are actually worse off than the animals. They do not think about life after death, but we do. We can say with Paul, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." 1 Corinthians 15:59. But is not our hope of heaven just a pipe dream? How can we be sure of the reality of heaven? Rabbi Kushner's best-selling book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, says no one knows whether or not there is life after physical death. I'm not questioning the rabbi's honesty, but Christians know someone who came down from heaven and promised us a home with God if we are faithful to the end. Our Lord promised, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14:1-3. But are we sure we can trust what Jesus said about His Father's house? My friends, through the ages, Christ's teachings have been examined by the most careful scholars and have been found to be trustworthy. Where Christ's words could be compared to other sources, His word has stood the test of time. If He told the truth about those matters which can be checked, that gives us confidence we can accept the truths which cannot be checked. Besides, Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. How could anyone who is the truth be false in any of His teachings? Very few people in our world want to go on record accusing Jesus of being a liar. My friends, you can believe His promises.